Here we are. Yes, I'm Tom Baker. You're listening to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. This is a Rumination Thursday on June the 16th in the year of our Lord, 2016. Wow, three sixes. 6, 1, 6, 1, 6. Normally on a Rumination Thursday, we have with us Wes Reimnitz, but he's somewhere out on the ocean for 2 weeks. So we had invited Mark Laverty to come on board, and he consented, but he's unable to be present due to a family situation, and we'll sure keep him in our prayers. We still want to continue, though, with the subject that we had announced. What is proper witnessing? What is proper witnessing? I was at a Bible study, and I said, okay, if you were going to tell someone about why you are a Christian, what would you say? What have you found that you want to share with them from the Christian faith? And the answer was, by a number of people, well, Jesus Christ died on the cross. He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He also became a human being, incarnation. And I said, I don't think that's witnessing. What? Is that not the essence of the Christian faith? I'm actually picking up a theme that I heard on Deacon Bates' program when he had a guest on talking about witnessing. And I'd like to expand that with some thoughts that I had. And I think the best way to do that is with an analogy. I believe analogies are hugely important to make something complex very simple. Jesus used analogies all the time. They're called parables. So, what's the analogy that I'm going to share with you? Let's say you and I and our wives were going out to eat. And I suggest a certain restaurant. And you ask, why do you go there? And I say, the building can hold hundreds of people. I also know the owner. There's a lot of parking. The bathrooms are very clean. And by the way, I never see any bugs. Well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that is I'm talking about the structure of the restaurant, but I'm not talking about the very thing that the person is interested in is how is the food? You don't go to a restaurant only because of good parking or the bathrooms are clean or you know the owner. No. You see, when you're trying to get someone to go to a restaurant that you like, you need to tell them not the benefits of the restaurant that you consider. You need to tell them what are the benefits that they are going to be blessed with. So if I say, yeah, we need to go to this restaurant. It's a Chinese. It's a buffet. It's got more food that you can choose from than any other Chinese restaurant I've ever been at. It's rated also like number one in the city, but there's Western food, there's Chinese food, there's all kinds of desserts, there's kinds of fruit, and it's just really delicious. Oh, okay. That sounds good. Let's go there. Now, this may sound strange to you, but when you say to somebody who is an unbeliever and they ask you, why do you go to church? And you say, well, because Jesus died on the cross and he rose from the dead. Do you understand that there is no benefit in that when somebody hears it? A particularly an unbeliever. Well, Pastor Baker, what are we supposed to be talking about then? What we talk about when we say, yeah, I belong to such and such a church, or I am a Christian, What we want to talk about to an unbeliever is the benefit that they too are looking for. They're not particularly interested that the God we believe in became a human being or was crucified or rose from the dead. The point I'm trying to make is this doesn't really touch them. You need to give the benefits of that incarnation, that crucifixion, that having risen from the dead. So what we want to do is kind of take a look at a few Bible verses that will attempt to make my point. Let's begin with the first one that I made. That for unbelievers, telling them that Jesus Christ died on the cross or rose from the dead, that doesn't make any sense to them at all. My evidence for that is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. Wow. It's folly? In fact, the verse before that is really, really important. 1 Corinthians 1:17. Listen what Paul was sent to preach about. Now you would think, well, he was sent to preach about Jesus dying on the cross, he rose from the dead. No. Verse 17. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. What does that mean? Preaching or teaching that Jesus Christ died on the cross, or teaching that he rose from the dead, there's no power in that. Nobody will ever be saved just if you could prove that Jesus Christ died on the cross or rose from the dead. I mean, that's pretty obvious, because not only the demons, but the Pharisees, who were unbelievers, knew he died on the cross. They knew he rose from the dead. They paid the soldiers to lie about it. Just as with the raising of Lazarus from the dead, they considered it to be a trick of the devil. They didn't deny the resurrection. So spending time in proving that the resurrection occurred really empties the power that God has there. Where is the power of the cross? Where is the power of the resurrection? Not in the historical event itself, but in the gospel. But is not the gospel that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose from the dead? No, it is not. The gospel refers to the promises connected to that death and to that resurrection. In other words, here's my advice when you're witnessing to someone. You got to kind of get into their shoes. You got to see that they often experience a world of suffering, a world of hurt, a world of confusion. And if you just simply say, oh, I'm a Christian because I believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, this doesn't help them at all. As verse 8 says, 18, 1 Corinthians 1, the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. Well, how do you move it from folly to wisdom? What you do, you say, the reason that I'm a Christian is that I really couldn't get through life without knowing what God has given to me by his grace. Now, they're going to look at you and say, well, what are you talking about? Well, what's the greatest problem that people have who are somewhat spiritual? What are they always worried about? They're always worried about, when I die, will I go to heaven, or whatever they would call it. And I tell you, there is not an unbeliever in the world who, if they answer that question, simply does not say, I don't know if I will because I don't think I am good enough. Wow. You see, they don't think they're at peace with God. See, if I'm telling somebody about, we need to go to this restaurant because the food that you see there is just delicious, they'll probably come because they want delicious food. That's a benefit. They're not maybe that concerned about parking since I'm driving. They're not that concerned about bathrooms are clean. They may not even use them. They're not that concerned that there's plenty of space for people to sit down. And they're certainly not concerned that you know the owner. When you are describing, for example, not only why somebody should go to a restaurant, but also why someone should see the movie you just saw, you don't say, oh, the seats in that theater are so comfortable. The screen is really wide. And because of the movie, no children are there. That's not going to get anybody to go see your movie. In a similar way, what encourages a believer is not what encourages an unbeliever. What encourages a believer is, did Jesus truly die on the cross for my sins? Did he truly rise from the dead for my salvation, my justification? Is he really ascended into heaven and holds the whole world in his hands? These constructs of the Christian faith, which I call doctrine, help us to begin to understand God better. But we're not saved because we believe Jesus Christ died on the cross or rose from the dead. Nobody is saved by believing the historical facts of the Bible. Well, let me go further and prove that with another verse. Ephesians 2, verse 13. Now, here is how Paul is witnessing to those who are really having problems with Christianity. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in the flesh the dividing wall of hostility. By abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. Now, did you notice where the word cross comes in? It comes in at the end of the benefits. First are the benefits which we call the gospel. Well, what is the gospel here? Well, we were not at peace with God. And the reason we were not at peace with God, because we were unable to fulfill the law of commandments expressed in ordinances. And therefore, there was a dividing wall of hostility. What Jesus did, he came and broke down that wall of hostility. Now, we know he did it on the cross, because on the cross, he took our sins and paid the price that should have been ours. And what's the result of how he killed the hostility? That's actually the word used in verse 16. The result of verse 17 and 18. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off. Now, that's a way of saying that you were once an unbeliever. You were not at peace with God. And he preached peace to those who were near. Now listen to this, verse 18. For through him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. You know, no unbeliever knows this. They think access to the Father comes through their obedience to the commandments. Just take a look at every religion in the world outside of Christianity, and that's what you're going to find. So access comes through what they do. Whereas Paul preaches that access comes to the Father by the Spirit. So what's the benefit of that? So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Jesus Christ being himself the very cornerstone. Wow. The point I'm simply making, and I have to say, I've heard a lot of sermons that are not sermons. They're wonderful doctrinal studies on some subject. I mean, you can do it easily, a 20, 25-minute sermon that Jesus is both divine and human. You could do another sermon that Jesus is a prophet, a priest, and a king. You can do another sermon talking about all the miracles Jesus did because he had great compassion on people. Guess what? Those sermons do not bring people to the Christian faith. They're pretty good for believers. They might be really good Bible studies. But until you start using the distinctions between law and gospel, the cross and the resurrection is folly. In other words, a lot of times when I'm preaching, I don't mention the cross or the resurrection, maybe till the end of the sermon, because what we're trying to get across is, okay, here's your condition. Not only before God, but as you see it. This is why on Wednesday, when I talked about the tragedy in Orlando, and I'm speaking here about the murder of many people in the bar, this is a great opportunity for Christians to get in there and really preach the true nature of God, that many of those people are probably feeling the same way that many who experienced a horrible storm. What did I do to deserve this? And so the Christian faith is one, not when you just tell them the doctrines or the historical facts of the Bible. See, this is why on many a time it's Tuesday at 4:30 on Issues, etc., I have the privilege of doing the Sunday school lesson put out by Concordia Publishing House. And if you look at the Leader's Guide at Concordia Publishing House, there is not a time when they are not talking about the benefits of the Sunday school lesson. I mean, when you talk about Daniel in the lion's den, there's no cross there. The cross can be brought in because we're talking about the tremendous benefits. Let me bring in another verse. And notice where the cross comes in. Colossians 1:20. Well, I'm going to start with 19. For in Jesus all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him, okay, here comes the benefit, to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. Now, you see how foolish to an unbeliever it is if you could even prove to them that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead. The answer, the response is, so what? I mean, try and using that technique with those who were at the cross or the Pharisees who later believed he did rise from the dead. And you're trying to give evidence that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead? So what? They already believe that. Or they know that because they were there. You see, proper witnessing is not talking about the historical events in the Bible. It's talking about the benefits that we get from those historical events through the promises of the gospel. Now, to me, the greatest benefit that I have found that makes an unbeliever prick up their ears is found in Colossians 2, verse 13. Because one unbeliever who thinks theologically in any sense of the term believes that they're perfect enough to get to heaven. Listen to verse 13 and 14. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our sins. Now, that even could be said, but that's still foolish, because you need to explain how that benefit takes place. And Paul does that in verse 14. Having forgiven us all our sins by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. Are you beginning to understand why long gospel is so important? If you don't mention law and gospel, and you just stick with the historical record or the events that occur in the Bible, it's foolishness to an unbeliever. Now, I want to finish verse 14. By canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, this he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Nailing it to the cross. It was Jesus who was nailed to the cross. How were our record of debt that stood against us with his legal demands, how was that canceled? By him being nailed to the cross. Because you then explain that Jesus became sin for us. We've been saying this for some weeks here, that the two things that God had to do in order to save human beings, he first of all had to become a human being. That's really what the incarnation is all about. The second thing he had to do, he had to take upon himself your sin. Every unbeliever has doubts as to whether or not they are saved, in whatever way they think about that. The reason I am a Christian is not because I say Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead. That's obviously part of the doctrine of the scriptural church. But it's because he has forgiven me my trespasses. He's canceled the record of debt that stood against me. And how many verses can I go through that talks about that we are removed from the curse of the law? What is the curse of the law? The curse of the law is not made right if somebody hears that, well, Jesus died on the cross. There's no connection to the benefit by just talking about the cross or the resurrection. The curse of the law is, in the day that you sin, death will occur, and an eternal death. That's the benefit. So, very simple here. What's the point of this particular time on Law and Gospel? It's to make the point that proper witnessing is not just a recounting of the historical events in the Bible, even though every one of them is true, but it's taking those events and attaching to them the promises of the gospel. Because apart from the promises of the gospel, the incarnation, the cross, the resurrection, are all foolish to an unbeliever. But through hearing the words of the gospel, guess what? People come to faith. and they therefore look at the cross, the resurrection, the ascension, the incarnation, totally differently because they now understand the benefits. On tomorrow's Open Mic Friday, you can ask me questions about this or about yesterday where we talked about the horrible tragedy in Orlando or any other question on your mind. I'm Tom Baker. Till Open Mic Friday, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com.